Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to spend a little time there this morning. All right, so there is a real need in the body of Christ for us to be unified in the faith. And what I mean by that is that we cannot be divided and effective at the same time. Jesus said in his own words that a kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and a house or a city divided against itself shall not stand. We are not citizens of the world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are representing his kingdom here on earth. This country and this world may be divided, but we shall walk in unity. Amen. Praise God. So let's go to the word. Are you ready for the word this morning? All right. So let's go to verse 1. This is Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the saints of Ephesus. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. And we'll talk about that word grace here in just a moment. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. We are one body, brothers and sisters. You know what? Everybody can't be the pastor, but we are one body. You know what? You may be a business person. You may be a business owner. You may be a college student. You may be in high school. But you know what? We're still of the same Spirit. Praise God. So it's just what Paul is trying to tell us is that disunity doesn't cut it. Look, we got to be walking in unity. We all have a part to play. We all have a place or a special gift and calling that is needed to bring what God is willing to pass. Okay? There's no competition in the body of Christ. Okay? The pastor isn't above a saint or a believer. We're all on the same level. Amen? Praise God. So let's go on to verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he gave the pastors and the evangelists these gifts and callings for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know what? For a long time, it's been kind of backwards. The pastor's been the one doing everything. You know, and it's almost been kind of abused, where it was the pastor one operating in the gifts. It was the pastor, he was the one giving the message. He was the one healing people. You've seen it. You know, he was walking in all the gifts instead of all the people walking in the gifts. But God wants us all to walk in the gifts. And you know what? That's what was Paul was so passionate about. We got to get to the place where it's the whole church is out there just telling people how much God loves them, that he's not mad at them. And when we get to that place, man, there's going to be real change, okay? There's going to be real things happening. If we can all just agree on the one thing, the gospel, man, everything else will fall into place, praise God. All right, so let's go to verse 13. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. That's the key ingredient to everything. Every ministry, every type of ministry, or if you're trying to reach someone, man, if you can do it in love, that's the number one thing. Amen. May grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body of Christ into the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. All right, I need to get some water more. Thank you. So what is this faith that we are to be united together in? It's the gospel, right? You know what? There are a lot of churches out there. I mean, we probably all passed maybe five or six on the way in. You know what? And we all have different styles of worship. We all have different ways that we serve God. But if we can agree on one thing, man, everything else is going to work out. But what the problem is that we have these denominational walls up. They're almost like religious safe zones that you go into. And if you talk about the Holy Spirit, then you're expelled because they don't believe in operating in the gifts and the calling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're not a tongue-talking church, okay? Maybe that is something that will keep you from fellowship with them. Well, that is not what God wants for His church. He wants us to walk in unity. You know what? You don't have to see eye to eye on everything, but you have to see eye to eye on the gospel, which is good news. Amen? So, like I said, the gospel is good news. The good news is about Jesus and everything that He provided for us. Very simply put, if you are preaching bad news, then it's not the gospel, because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. For so long, when I was a teenager and growing up, I didn't hear the true gospel. I heard that I needed Jesus or I was going to hell. And you know what? I accepted Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell. But that was as far as my relationship with Jesus got. It was all about not going to hell versus how great and awesome He was. You know what I mean? Still to this day, I see a lot of church signs that say, you better get right or get left. You better turn or burn. That's not the gospel, people. I mean, that's fear-based ministry. That is not what Jesus did, okay? If you want to know the Father, you look at the life of Jesus. And He went about just gracefully, you know, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus loved people. He never revealed their sin. He revealed their righteousness in Him. Amen? And that's what we need to do as a church. All right, so what does the Bible tell us about the gospel? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. One of my favorite scriptures, because it clearly defines what the gospel is. So Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God is the gospel. It doesn't say a gospel, one of the gospels. It's the gospel. The grace of God is the gospel. You know what? I find it odd sometimes that grace has become an offense to some people. It's almost because maybe grace, the term grace, has been abused that they don't want to talk about it anymore. It's almost, have you heard these terms called greasy grace or greasy gracers or things like that? You know what? We're not a greasy gracer, okay? You know, if you believe in grace, that means you believe in the gospel. But let me tell you what, because something has been abused, do you stop preaching it? No, you don't. Like tithing, for instance, tithing has been abused. I mean, we've all seen on television where people say, if you sow that $1,000 seed, God is going to bless you. They say it just like that. And if you don't, I mean, who knows what's going to happen to you? You know what I mean? Yeah. They put that fear on you. Okay. Tithing has been abused, but is tithing wrong? No. We still teach giving. There's a New Testament way of giving where you give out of the abundance of your heart. You give what God has placed in your heart. That is what we teach. We preach the truth all the more. And so, just like in the gospel, even though grace may have been abused by a small group of people, we don't stop preaching grace. We go at it all the more. Amen? Praise God. So when you truly understand grace, you know that you are set free from sin, not to sin. Because grace gives you the power over sin. Without grace, there is no power not to sin. Because when you start seeing yourself as righteous, holy, perfect, does that make you want to sin? No. That makes you want to not sin because you are a saint. You're a child of God. Amen? Praise God. Man, so I don't get it. I don't see why in the body of the church, I mean, these are denominational walls that we got to break down, guys. That grace does not make you sin. Teaching grace does not cause you to sin. It causes you to live more holy than you ever thought about. Amen? Praise God. So let me ask you a question. Have you heard of Who has heard of Noah Webster? Surely every hand should go up. Noah Webster. We have a Noah over there. Yep, he's probably a little taller than the other Noah. Noah Webster, you know, he was the one that created the Webster's Dictionary, okay? And he wrote some of the most godly definitions for words like marriage. If you want to find a godly definition to things like that, go to his 1828 edition. It's online. It's amazing. But he defines the word grace better than anybody I've ever seen. It's amazing, guys. It'd probably blow your mind. All right, so he says, grace is appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and the source of all benefits men receive from him. The free, unmerited love and grace of God. Grace is unmerited, guys. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a free gift. Amen? So, you know, he used the Bible to define that. He said that in Romans 11:5. He says, if it's by grace, it's of no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it's by works, it's no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. So you can't earn God's salvation. You can't earn his grace. You can't deserve it. It's just given to you. And you know what? You receive it by faith. It's by faith in Christ. You know, faith has been almost turned into a work. Like something you have to do in order to get it. Man, it's the response. The moment you hear it, the power of God moves into your heart and it moves, amen? It's just that quick, quicker than you can think. Man, when you hear the goodness of God, you're not going to reject it. You're going to just receive it. Just right there in your heart. It just hits you in the chest, amen? Praise God. All right, so let's talk practical ministry for a moment. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was talking with my brother about something, you know, about the church. We should be really pursuing preaching the gospel like Paul preached. You know, Paul, he preached radical grace, guys. I mean, he was often attacked for the way he taught. But I was telling my brother, I said, you know what? We just need to tell people that how much they are loved and how much they are righteous in Christ. Just like that. Just tell them that they are loved by God and they are righteous in Jesus. And you know what? He said, what about sin? They need to know that they're a sinner. They need to know that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And we'll back up to verse 16. He says, this is Paul. And he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, not the sinfulness of man. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. From faith to faith, as it is written, the gospel does not reveal man's sin. Sin is self-evident. Almost everybody in here, I believe, knows that they needed a Savior. You know what? I was not perfect growing up. I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, in high school, I took the wrong road. Let's just put it that way. I took the wrong road, and I think a lot of us have. We know that we need a Savior. Now, there will be those, probably those who under the law, that say, or people that are self-righteous say that, oh, I don't need a Savior. I live a good life. Okay, that's when you reveal the sin. That's when you bring the law, amen? But it's when you are approaching someone in this world, the last thing that they need to hear is what's wrong with them. No, they need to hear one good thing about them. Just tell them that they're righteous in Christ. You're not saying they're righteous apart from you know, that they're righteous on their own. No, you're saying their righteousness is in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let me ask you another question. If you were the devil and you knew the power of God if you knew the gospel was the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, what would you attack? You would attack the gospel, because the gospel is the power. The gospel is where the victory is. So that's where Satan, the defeated foe, has done a really good job of deceiving a lot of people within the church. He's made all these different denominations. He's made all these different type of beliefs and all these different faiths to distract us from the one thing that we need to be in unity about, the gospel, the goodness of God that leads people to a godly life. The good news of God is what we should be teaching to everybody. And there shouldn't be any conflict. And when we talk about the gospel, it should be settled because the word of God says it's the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. So when the true gospel is preached, people will misunderstand you. Let's think about that for a moment. Did you know that Paul was frequently misunderstood as saying, "Let us sin more that grace may abound"? But what Paul really was saying was, where sin increased, grace superabounds. Let's look in our Bibles at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. This is Paul, and he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer?" Man, we are dead to sin, guys. Sin has no power over us. You know what? When you commit a sin, man, that atonement that Jesus made on your life is still there, okay? We're still going to make mistakes every day until the day we die, until we get a new body, amen? We're still going to make mistakes. But you know what? You can't sin. If you are in Christ, you cannot sin, amen? All right. Romans 6:15 says, What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There's it again. Paul was being misunderstood. Oh, shall we sin? You know what? If you're preaching the gospel strong enough, you'll get the same accusations that Paul received. What makes us think that we're preaching the gospel and we're not getting those accusations that we're preaching the gospel? Because we're not. We are not preaching the same gospel if we're not being misunderstood as saying, oh, it's okay to live in sin. We're not saying that. We're just saying that, hey, this is where the power of God is. Man, we got to get to that place where we're not ashamed about preaching the gospel. That's what Paul said. I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, Paul received the gospel. You know what? He was the one that received it directly from Jesus. If we want to know what the gospel is, if we want to know how to minister the gospel, we look at the words Paul wrote. Amen. Praise God. All right, people who preach grace are not making light of sin. They're making much of Jesus. That's normally the way that we are put down. People that are ministering the goodness of God, normally the way they are attacked is saying, oh, you're just saying it's okay to live in sin. No, we're just saying that Jesus is much more than that. Man. Grace is so little compared to Jesus, right? Sickness is so little compared to Jesus. You know, death is so little compared to Jesus. There's nothing that Jesus didn't provide for us. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so when you preach the gospel, you will experience some rejection. Most of the rejection that ministers of righteousness face come through those who are under the law. A very sin-conscious people. They want to mix law with grace. All right, so I experienced this when I first came into grace, and it was probably about 6 years ago, maybe seven. The brother actually ministered grace to me sitting in the back, Mark Hicks. I was in the military, and I remember in basic, I was just really seeking God. I mean, nothing in life was just seeming to go right. I think that's why I joined the Army. I think a lot of people just don't know what to do, so they join the Army. So that's what I did. I joined the Army. And in basic, I just started hating life because basic, it was not fun. It was pretty tough. But I just, you know, in those 2 hours of sleep or 2 hours of private time that you would get, I would seek God. I'd open my little Army Bible that was about that big, and I'd start just searching God. And you know what? God started speaking to me. And he said that, you know, he had a wife for me, and he had a better life for me. And, I mean, it wasn't like maybe, a year after basic, I met my wife, you know, and a year after that, you know, is when Mark ministered grace to me. And it was just so powerful, guys. When grace was revealed to me, I started developing a passion that I never had. I always loved God with all my heart. And you know what? When growing up, I grew up in church. I mean, I was baptized at an early age, and I loved God, but I didn't serve God out of a place of knowledge. I served Him out of a place of fear, and I wanted to be holy. So every time, and I was kind of under the law. So every time that I would try to please God and live holy, I would fail. Man, it was terrible. A terrible feeling is knowing that, man, you want to please God, but every time you try, you fail. Because I was under the law. I was set up for failure, guys. That's what happened to a lot of us. We were set up for failure. You know, the law gives strength to sin. That's what it does. It empowers sin. It kills you. And it shows you your need for a Savior. Amen. But man, grace turned my life around. And it'll turn your life around. And this is not something you hear one time. Man, we got to live by this gospel. You know, I say this to the youth a lot of times. I say, you know what? If you ever get tired of hearing the gospel, there's something wrong. You know, this is something that should be the utmost importance in our life. I mean, we should be hearing the gospel, living by the gospel. Every day, I mean, if you got sickness in your body, you need to be hearing the gospel. Amen? If you're experiencing financial lack, you got to be hearing the gospel. If you're depressed, be hearing the gospel, because that's where the power of God is in. Amen. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. You know what? Salvation isn't just being saved from sin. It's being saved from all of that mess, being saved from all of your sickness, your disease, being saved from all of that lack and that depression. And you know what? Jesus provided all of that for us. So why not take it? Why do we have to wait to get to heaven to experience all of the blessings that God provided for us? We don't. Man, let's start living that life now. Amen. Praise God. All right, so if the law could have made us righteous, then there would have been no need in a Savior to come. Because the law only shows what is wrong with you. You don't go to the law, the Ten Commandments, and to find out what's good with you, okay? You don't go to the law, you know, and say, oh, man, I did good today. I didn't kill anybody, you know? You don't go to the law and try to find out what's good with you. It only reveals what's wrong with you. So we gotta divorce the law and be united with the gospel. Amen? And I think this is a progression that we all go through. This is something that we all have to hear from time to time. It's easy to slip back under that law where I'm trying to earn and strive to be good. No, we're already good because God made us good. You know what? He didn't need to come back and redo it over and over again. Jesus died one time 2,000 years ago for us all. He's not dying again. Man, we are righteous and holy already. All right, so let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 24 through 25. So therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Okay? So the law, like we talked about earlier, was to bring us to Christ. But once you get the substance, once you get Jesus, you don't need that tutor anymore. You don't need that law that showed you that you needed a Savior anymore. Man, you just need Jesus. Man, He's more than enough. He's better. He's a better friend than that law, let me tell you. That law is not a very good friend. It was designed to kill you. All right. So, let's go to, I'll just quote it for time purposes. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:23, for whatever is not from faith is sin. In Galatians 3:12 says, and the law is not of faith. And 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, if you want to give sin power over somebody, you just give them the law. Man, it will hurt them. Amen. You know what? I find it odd, too, that, you know what? The law is not a faith. And whatever is not a faith is sin. I find it odd that we have a lot of people, a lot of ministers within the body of Christ that are giving people the law. The very thing that they claim that they're trying to stop, sin, what they're giving them is causing them to sin. The law, it brings all this inside of you. It just, all the evil desire is the life to that is given by the law. And you know what? We are not under the law. We are under grace, praise God. And that was Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. When you see yourself as righteous, you'll live a more holy life by accident than you ever thought about doing on purpose. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I think Mark quotes it a lot too. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And let's pull that one up. I want you to see it. So much revelation in this one verse. All right, so it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by the one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the one, Jesus Christ. So that by one man's offense death reigned by the one, that's talking about Adam, that's where death came into the world, much more they who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It says by these two gifts that we will reign in life. It's, you see it for your own eyes. It's not by living holy or trying to please God. It's by receiving grace in the free gift of righteousness. Amen. We are righteous, holy, and complete. When God looks at us, He is well pleased. He is not mad at us. Glory to God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. The Bible says that we are just like Jesus. In 1 John 4:17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this life. Wow. I'm still floating on that verse. It's been a few years. But it says, for we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, so are we in this life. Not even in the world to come is God wanting us to wait until we're like Jesus. No, He says you're like Jesus right now. You're already made in the image of the Father. Man, Jesus has restored you from a sinner to a saint. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You was a sinner, and now you are a saint, and you are just like Jesus. Amen. You are just like Jesus. Praise God. Man, with that revelation, you are going to live a godly life. Man, and it's going to be effortless. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to try to live holy. You know what? Jesus is going to do it through you. Amen? Praise God. So everything that Jesus is, you are. And He didn't die on the cross to just give you some of Himself. He died to give you all of Himself. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus holy? Then you are holy. Is Jesus healthy? Then you are healthy. Is Jesus blessed? Then you are blessed. Is Jesus rich? Then you are rich. Is Jesus anointed? Then you are anointed. Oh man, praise God. Hallelujah. Man, we are the righteousness of God. Praise God. You are a new creature. Let's take a look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Wow. Hey, this is gold I'm giving y'all. These scriptures, man, rocked my life. Brought me out of a place of doing nothing into just wanting to serve God the best way that I could. All right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creature. We are no longer that old man. You know what? We don't relate ourselves to who we were. We relate ourselves to who we are now in Christ. You know what? That's the same way that I should be treating you. That's the gospel, guys. I should be treating you the same way that I treat myself. If I'm good to myself, I need to be good to you. You know what? When I see you do that stupid thing, I shouldn't say, you're stupid. I should remind you of your righteousness in Christ. That's what I should be doing. When you make that mistake, the last thing you need me to come tell you is that was stupid. You need me to come to you and say, no, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's ready for you to wake up and see that he's not concerned with what you're doing wrong. He's concerned about what's right with you. And that's everything that Jesus provided. Amen. Praise God. All right, so I want to start bringing this to a close. I don't know what time I'm supposed to be finishing up. Is that close to now? Okay. All right, so the Holy Spirit is essential in every believer's life. Did you know that Jesus didn't perform one miracle until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, don't we need the Holy Spirit? You know what? When we got born again, the Spirit of Christ is inside of us. Amen. We have that. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need it because Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by John. And after that baptism, he started casting out demons. He started healing the sick. Man, this is the same thing that we can operate in. All right. So it's available for us today. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 12. All right, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Man, Jesus is telling us right there, greater works will we do than he did, because he goes to his Father. Amen. All right, also, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. All right, so it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Jesus read this prayer. You know, he was in the synagogue and he opened up the book of Isaiah and he started reading this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Amen. That is the same Spirit that is on us. The same anointing is on us. When we read that verse, we're not just reading what Jesus said. We're reading the same Spirit. We're reading about the same Spirit that's in us. You are all anointed. And that's what this message has been about today. Is that, hey, yes, we're all believers. But a lot of us haven't been seeing ourselves as a minister of righteousness. We are all ministers of righteousness. Hey, you don't have to be a pastor to minister righteousness to people. In fact, we need people in the workplace. We need people, you know, all over ministering to people that need the gospel. And today, you may not have seen yourself as a minister, but be assured that today, you know, that calling, that blessing that God has placed on your life is still available. He didn't revoke it. It's still in effect. You know what? A lot of times when we mess up and we make mistakes, oh man, it's too late now to get on board with what God has called me to do. No, it's not that way at all. Man, more than ever, the time is now. Amen? Praise God. So I'm going to start bringing this to a close. And Alan, if you could come up and just play a little bit of keyboard for us. Sorry, everybody. I've been under attack here lately with a lot of coughing in my throat's getting kind of dried out, so I'm having to drink a lot of water so I can speak. But you know what? What was meant for my harm, God will turn around for my good. Amen. Amen. All right. So, and from young to old, if the breath of life is still in your lungs, God's plan is still in effect for you. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Before you were formed in the womb, God had your days planned out. But you have to allow God's will to work through you. Amen. So right now, let's just stand up together. God is so good. He loves us, each and every one of us. He doesn't love me more than you. You know, He loves us all the same. But how great is that love? How great is that love that He can love you just as much as He loves me? And just as much as He loves Jesus, He loves us. And you know what? He's looking down on us right now, and He's just smiling. And He's just saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know what? He's not even in a bad mood. He's just sitting up there smiling and saying, "Wow, what a great day it is just to spend time with my children." And I believe there's some in here that's really been struggling. You know, they've really been feeling like you've just been kind of dried out. You know, you haven't been doing ministry for a while, or maybe you just, that passion that once was there, that it may have just feel like it vanished. But you know what? It hasn't. It's still inside of you. And sometimes you just got to stir that gift up. We all have a gift. We all have a calling. We all got to operate in that gift and calling for us to bring what God needs to pass. And so right now, let's just take a moment to stir that gift up that's inside of us. Hallelujah. So what I feel the Lord saying, let's just pray together. You can pray in your holy faith. And just let's let the Spirit of God just stir that gift that's in our hearts up today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's in here. Thank you, Father, that they have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of them, that they are no longer a sinner, but they are a saint. They are the righteousness of God. They are kings and queens, Heavenly Father, and that they have a gift and a calling. Yes, Father. I just speak the grace and truth over them, that we may walk in unity, that we will not be divisive about the gospel, but there will be a unity around the truth so we can reach as many people as we can, Heavenly Father.